Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. Month after month of watching death, destruction, and carnage on social media, some Western elites are being told in no uncertain terms, Israel must end its genocide of the Palestinians. The same Western elites respond with empty words of sympathy. Often they lie. There is no such thing as Western values anymore. Crosstalking Genocide, I'm joined by my guest, Ramzi Baroud in Seattle. He is a Palestinian author and journalist. In London, we have Greg Stoker. He is a former U.S. Army Ranger, as well as geopolitical analyst for Mint Press News. And in Beirut, we cross to Omar Nashabi. He is a criminal justice analyst, as well as member of the U.N. Expert Group on Gender, Justice, and the Law. All right, gentlemen, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Greg, let me go to you first here. Enormous amount of sympathy coming out of the West, 18 months after the fact. The UK, France, and Canada had a joint statement, and in one part of that statement, they were referencing the issue of blocking aid. And let me just quote, just a couple of words here. Israel risks breaching international humanitarian law. Are these people out of their mind? What do you mean, breach, the risk of breaching? Haven't we gotten there already? Why this disingenuous language, okay? Because what they're doing now is they're playing with words and what they think they should mean, what they want to control our vocabulary, the way we describe things. And this is unconscionable. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, yeah, I mean, the establishment gaslighting continues per usual. We've just had some incredibly telling statements, not like there hasn't been genocide incitement speech since October 7th, about from senior ministers within the Knesset saying, essentially, everyone's culpable, children, women. And it's come to a point now, after aid has been blocked for over 70 days, I don't have the exact figure, approaching 80 or breaching 80 now, that they're no longer able to tolerate it from a PR perspective. And we talk a lot about like shifting narratives. You know, it's kind of like a pendulum swing, what's tolerable, what's not. And what we're seeing right now is at least a narrative of how they're going to reevaluate free trade agreements, not just with, you know, Britain, but also with the EU. But I never pay attention to these kind of things. I only look for like what materially is done. We've seen over the past 2 weeks this massive drama about the Trump administration end running around Israel to effectuate a ceasefire with the Houthis. He visited the Gulf states without stopping in Israel. And there were some most likely controlled leaks from the White House administration to the press, the mainstream media, saying that Benjamin Netanyahu and Trump were on the rocks. But of course, it seems just like political theater, just like when Biden, through the Biden administration via Axios News last spring, 2024, was quoted as saying Benjamin Netanyahu was a bad effing guy. So, you know, we thought there was going to be some substantive change
Greg, with the so-called spat between Trump and Bibi, what's that have to do with feeding people in Gaza? It has nothing to do with it. Ramzi, let me go to you. Do you need a dictionary to determine what a genocide is? Do you need to consult a lawyer? You know, when you look at your social media feed, do you say, oh, maybe I should call my lawyer here? I mean, is this a genocide or not? I mean, I think that's insulting. I think the public is being insulted by talking this way, and these leaders do it incessantly. Ramzi.
It is insulting. I mean, you started the program, Peter, by talking about Western values. There is no such thing as Western values anymore. I believe that values are values. There are human values, humanitarian and humanistic values. The lives of every person in this world should be treated as equal to any other lives anywhere under any circumstance. I don't think there has ever been a thing called Western values. I think Western values has been predicated on the principle of the human rights, or the principles of human rights, respect of international law, and reinforcement of international law according to the tastes and diktats of the West. And we have seen that actualized in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Libya, in Yemen, everywhere around the world, using Western double standards. what's happening in Gaza right now, it completely demolishes and diminishes the credibility of the West, the way that they want to present their so-called values in the world. They are just creating this alternative narrative because they think Netanyahu has went too far.
There you go. Netanyahu has gone too far. Let me go to Omar here. So this is what it's all about. It's about one person. I thought it was about a settler colonial experiment coming out of Europe and an ideology backing it up called Zionism here. But we're told it's all about Bibi. Really? Go ahead, Omar.
Anyway, it's not just about Benjamin Netanyahu, because the practices of the Israelis have been ongoing since 75 years. I mean, this is an entity, this is a Zionist entity based on apartheid. It has an apartheid system. Apartheid is a crime against humanity. They've been practicing, crimes of war, crimes against humanity on an ongoing basis since the 40s. I mean, this has been ongoing, and therefore, now they're showing it, they're portraying it as if you remove Netanyahu, it will solve the problem. It will not solve the problem. You cannot have an entity that has an apartheid system. You cannot, this should not be allowed to exist. As South Africa, the apartheid system was not allowed to exist in the international community, so does this Zionist entity. It should not exist as an apartheid state. It should be a democratic entity if it wants to be a member of the United Nations or... I mean, even the access of Israel to the United Nations was conditioned. I mean, in 48, there was a condition that the Israelis should respect international law. They did not do that. They went away with it. The Western world has been supporting the Israelis, making them get away with impunity all along. Now, all of a sudden, because the Americans are not in tune 100% with the Israelis, because the Minister of Defense, the American Minister of Defense, postponed his visit to Israel, and there is a disagreement between Netanyahu and Trump. It seems that this disagreement, allows the Europeans and some European leaders to actually speak out and come out and say, now all of a sudden they want a ceasefire. The need for a ceasefire and for letting the aid go in is not just a need and not a political opinion. It's an order that was issued. Four orders were issued by the International Court of Justice. Four orders. They disobeyed four orders and they got away with it. Then then the West had created this ICC tribunal that we call the Africa Court, because most of the cases are in Africa. So all of a sudden, this ICC, says that after a whole year of genocide, they accuse, they issue an arrest warrant for Netanyahu and for Yoav Gallant, and all the European nations are trying to get away from their international legal obligation for arresting him. Many of the European countries turned their back on the ICC, and that shows the hypocrisy of these so-called values. I mean, it's when it suits them, they go along with it, and when it doesn't, it doesn't. Now, having said that, let's look at the situation on the ground. Nothing changed. These are
nothing
just words.
Changed. Well, let me go to Greg in London here. I mean, what I see is this is an exercise in conscience washing, because they know that their legacy, the people in power, they will be held to account, at least historically, maybe not legally. They're terrified, and that's why they want to shift the narrative. Well, it's all about self-defense, all this. They're terrified, and that's a good thing. Go ahead, Greg.
It is, but they're also trying to play both sides. Obviously. Yep. So basically, if we look at Israeli Hasbara and policy, they are very concerned about the idea of even having the most minimal sanctions levied against them. It's a country, it's a small country with very small strategic depth. Conventionally, that means there's not a lot of standoff between the front lines of a conflict and their industrial centers, but it also means they don't have a lot of economic depth. Even if we go back to the war in the early 70s, the 1973s, they ran out of ordnance within the first couple weeks. The American industrial complex had to mobilize massively, a massive logistical operation just to refund them. They cannot exist without imperial support. So anytime there's a talk of sanctions, even holding weapons shipments, they are terrified. And Western politicians, who are in part captured by multiple interests, including the Israel lobby that exists not just in America, but throughout different European countries. They know that they can say one thing, but they have to give material support and not back down on it, because once one sanction actually happens, the entire system will go into cascade failure, starting with free trade agreements. And this is why there's other performative things going on, like sanctioning settlements, sanctioning actual settlers. Okay, it's a good performative effect, but what they won't do is actually sanction the Israeli government, because when that actually starts happening, that's the beginning of the end. And we can look at South Africa, for instance, for other historical precedents. So that is why they are deeply concerned about actually sanctioning Israel, fine with sanctioning settlers. And this is why we don't listen to politicians. We listen to the actual material actions that they are taking, which right now I don't see any.
Yeah, Ramsey, this whole Trump and Netanyahu spat, I think it's just performative. Because none of the policies are changing. We've heard it many times before. It would take one phone call and an aid would be coming in. But that phone call is not going to be made.
Well, let's just look at the context of the spat, Peter. It happened at a time that everyone in the mainstream media was talking about the fact that Trump cannot go to the Gulf region and cannot strike all of these deals with the Arabs unless the war in Gaza stops. So that was the kind of the precondition. But Netanyahu was not in the mood of stopping the war. So I think this so-called spat is largely manufactured and hyped to give the impression that even though the precondition was not satisfied, at least Trump is not happy with Netanyahu. That gave the Arabs the chance to do the, you know, whatever financial deals and military deals with the United States without preconditioning these trillions of dollars on the end of the war in Gaza, yet at the same time, without putting Trump in a difficult position by having to order Netanyahu to stop the war at the end of the...
Gentlemen, we have to go to a break, but Ramsey, you're describing more conscience washing, and that's on the part of the Arabs, all right? Gentlemen, I have to jump in here. We're going to go to a short break, and after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on genocide. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter LaVelle. To remind you, we're discussing genocide. Okay, let's go back to Omar in Beirut. As Western elites, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the media later in the program, are trying to convince us this isn't a genocide. It's just a very difficult, tragic situation, and we're doing everything we can. But, you know, if you look at Israeli media, even English language media in Israel, they don't hide their intentions at all. You know, at least the Nazis tried to cover up their crimes. They tried to destroy the evidence. There are political figures and members of civil society are just quite pleased to see a genocide occur in Gaza. As a matter of fact, they demand it. Omar.
Yes, and they're very articulate about it since the beginning. In fact, Yoav Gallant had talked about human animals from day one. I mean, that is in October 2023. And the Israeli soldiers, the officers and the soldiers have been showing images. You know, they've been filming with their own phones, and they're showing that they want to demolish, kill everybody, destroy all of Gaza. They've been digging out the underwear of dead mothers and, you know, taking pictures with that. And it's disgusting. I'm sorry for the audience to say this, but this is what they have been showing on social media and all over the media. And, you know, the Israelis are saying this explicitly. They're saying they want to finish the job. They want to turn Gaza into a parking space. And the Americans have been pushing them, come on, finish the job. They didn't finish the job on time. That's why there's a disagreement between the Americans and the Israelis. That is the main source of the disagreement, that they couldn't finish the job. You see, if they killed more people, but in a shorter period of time, and they finished the job, I don't think there would have been such a reaction from the Western powers. And there would be, they would say, okay, now it's done. Now we're done with Hamas. The fact that Hamas did not give up and that the fighters of Hamas are continuing with their fight for their own dignity, to protect their own people. The fact that the Palestinian people in Gaza are not leaving and they refuse to leave no matter what they offer, no matter where they're taking them, because they know in 75 years the Palestinian people have suffered from, you know, a refugee crisis all over. The Palestinian refugees in Lebanon live in miserable conditions, in Syria, in Egypt, everywhere they go. It's not their country, and they have no promise to go back to their home. homeland. They have no nationality, although having a nationality is a main basic human right. So where are these values? What are you going to do with the Palestinians? The West has no answers. You know, the only thing that the West wants is that Netanyahu and his army finish the job. And that means to complete the genocide, to kill more people, to have more devastating destruction so that Mr. Trump can start his Riviera project and his casinos and hotels over the bones of all these innocent civilians.
Greg, you know, in looking at the media in the last few last 2 weeks, it's fair to say, let's go through three of them. The Economist, they had a very pro-Israel Zionist publication. The War in Gaza Must End. Let's go to the Financial Times. Also, very pro-Israel, very Zionist. The West's shameful silence on Gaza. Well, we're not silent. I mean, I've been talking about it all the time, and so have you guys, okay? Let's go to the third one, Tom Friedman. Well, we all know him, very pro-Israel. This Israeli government is not our ally. They're all missing the point, okay? They're trying to justify a genocide, except for not calling it that. And again, they want to present themselves as on the right side of history. But even these articles themselves say just the opposite. Greg.
Yeah, I mean, it's the classic critique of neoliberalism. They're always, all these people, all these publications are against every war except the current one and every genocide in the past. And they turn a blind eye to what's actually going on in the present. So there has been a couple of developments that are concerning. This is as of Thursday morning, Wednesday night, a alleged pro-Palestinian activist shot two people inside a Washington, D.C. Jewish museum at a conference. And now the PR about this is in complete overdrive. So Yair Lapid, former Israeli prime minister and centrist opposition leader to Netanyahu, centrist, of course, said today, the horrific double murder in Washington, D.C. was an act of anti-Semitic terrorism and a direct result of the incitement we've seen at protests across the world. This is what they always meant by globalize the Intifada. So ever since that came out over the past 6 hours, since the shooting happened, there's been a concerted, almost global propaganda push about centering around the slogan, globalize the Intifada. Senior senators from the United States have been decrying this slogan. Attorney General Pam Bondi, Nancy Mace, all of these prominent Republican right-wing politicians. And this is what we're kind of seeing is, this is just another evolution of the ill-fated global war on terror, which has never really ended, especially within the domestic context of the United States in terms of state surveillance and repression of different voices. And it will now turn inward, not only on Muslims, but on anyone who opposes the war state. So, yes, we are kind of seeing a global push against what Israel's doing, these kind of milquetoast, very centrist takes from
Greg, but the pushback, I agree with you. We're seeing it all over the world. The global South is disgusted by this.
Yes.
I mean, it's appalling. This is a stain on humanity. But let me shift it to Ramsey here. But see, what they've done is the narrative is that if you criticize Israel, you're anti-Semitic. That's the discursive trick they're trying to play on us, which is absolutely nonsense. But that's what that is the theme that they push over and over and over again. It's an insult to Judaism.
It is. And by the way, I'm a Semite. I'm an Arab Palestinian from born and raised in Gaza. My family are Semites, and my family is experiencing genocide. Half of them are pretty much gone at this point, yet nobody refers to this as an act of anti-Semitism. The concept of anti-Semitism is misconstrued from the very start to mean something purely political, that whatever Israel does, it's okay, because if you criticize Israel, you're anti-Semitic. And I think a great deal of number of people all around the world are now beginning to see through this. It's just this narrative is not selling anymore. Regarding why the media is finally turning against Israel, I think this is all about how much space, as your guests have said correctly, how much space Israel needed needed for this job to be done. And Israel has failed miserably. And now, and I think this is the real turning point, is that Israel is openly talking about the end game. For a long time, we were told that Israel does not know what it wants. Netanyahu has no plan. But now they do have a plan. And Netanyahu articulated that very clearly, along with Smotrich and others, that we want to permanently occupy Gaza, and we want to ethnically cleanse the Palestinians out of Gaza somewhere else, Libya, Somaliland, Egypt, what have you. And that, I think, is the real turning point, because it means I can't buy any more time for you if you are talking about a long, protracted occupation of Gaza. This is, in my opinion, is the real shift and the real conflict.
Yeah, but Omar, I would not disagreeing with Ramsey, but this is a project that began with the inception of the Israeli state. I mean, there's continuity here, okay? There are ebbs and flows, but there's continuity. It doesn't matter who the prime minister of Israel is, Omar.
Exactly, but it's not just, it's continuity on the part of the Israelis, yet there was a deal. There was a deal that was, how fair is that deal? You know, there was a deal that, you know, there would be the West Bank and Gaza would be part of Palestine, and there would be a settlement. And that was the Oslo deal. Now, I disagree with the Oslo deal. I think it's unfair. It wasn't. Yet there is this deal, and the Israelis did not respect it, and the international community did not respect it, although the Palestinians gave up more than 75% of their land that they own. They gave it up to make a deal, and the world did not respect them. So what message is the world telling the Palestinians? That every time you make a deal and you make some sacrifices, the other party and the international community that supports the Israelis is not going to take it in good faith. It's not going to actually say, okay, you know what, they make sacrifices, so now let's guarantee that they live in peace and dignity. No. If you withdraw, they keep fighting you. That's what they did. And that's many examples. The last example.
Yeah, but Omar, we're rapidly running out of time here, but we're kind of going for a circle. Greg, you know, I'm titling this program Values Side, because the genocide creates value side, okay? The lack of values has allowed this to happen. More than a half a century of international humanitarian law is a dead letter now, and that is because of the West. Greg.
Yeah. So basically, all of this multi-generational post-World War II Cold War propaganda about the United States being the bastion of democracy is kind of burned away in its final stage. So we no longer have the soft power, the ability to co-opt rather than to coerce. All we have is hard power and force, and that's failing. Sanctions really aren't working on Russia. They're not working on Iran. And so what this is all going to turn inward on our own people. Whatever they're willing to do to Palestinians, they're willing to do to us. And that's why everybody needs to get involved. And this is why governments learn from each other. So if Israel can get away with it, the United States can get away with it, India can get away with it in Kashmir, the entire world is now less safe. And we know that Western values, of course, are a complete sham.
You know, Ramsey, we have 1 minute left here. What's your parting message as we see these politicians feign sympathy for the Palestinian people?
Absolutely. My message is, do not just wait on these politicians to make a move. Do not expect that the West is going to truly turn against Israel. They are buying time. They are creating distractions. At the end of the day, every weapon that has been used and continues to be used to kill Palestinians en masse actually comes from these very Western governments. So our position is, you can say whatever you want. At the end of the day, you are still feeding the Israeli, monstrous Israeli war machine. So keep pushing until you achieve an actual policy shift on Gaza. Otherwise, there can be no compromise with these politicians whatsoever.
And because of the nature of social media, you cannot say you didn't know. That is very important. You can't deny you didn't know it. That's all the time we have, gentlemen. Thank you for a fascinating discussion. I want to thank my guests in Seattle, London, and in Beirut. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk rules.